I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of something today on this t-shirt and flip-flop day. And I you'll notice I'm wearing my t-shirt, my Bethel t-shirt. And I also have present with me my Bethel hat. I am Bethel'd up real nice today. How many of you think I look pretty amazing? A couple of you nodded your head, and some of you are like, something wrong with that boy today. He's already, yeah, I'm stuck on pretty. Stuck on pretty. Yeah, I've already preached I'm in my second sermon already. That'll probably be edited for some of these people. But yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit about this Bethel thing that we have going. Bethel. And we are Bethel, and some of you know why. And I want to make sure that we all know why this church got its name changed to Bethel. So I'm going to say a few things, but a little history first. How many of you remember what this church was originally named? Anybody? Calvary Chapel of Defiance. There we go. Audience participation. Matt does not go quite back that far. He's been with us a long time, and I'm glad that he shouted out there. And what happened was there were a dozen or so churches that raised up out of the Jesus movement in connection with Calvary Temple in Fort Wayne. And all of those churches took on the nomenclature of Calvary Chapel of, and there was a bunch of them, Auburn, Waterloo, Decatur. Most of them were in Indiana at the beginning because Calvary Temple was in Indiana. And then Lisa and I became part of Calvary Ministries back in 1985. So we have a history that goes back quite a ways. And then over the years, connected with them, we ended up in southern Indiana, and then we ended up in Defiance, Ohio, and it will be 25 years this fall. Isn't that amazing? Like this September, 25 years that we've been here. And so when we came here, it had actually already gone through a slight adjustment to the name. It went from Calvary Chapel of Defiance to Calvary Worship Center. Because, you know, just trying to gain an identity that fit what we were doing. And then in 1999, just as the turn of the new century was hitting, there was this movement going on all over the place where churches were changing their nomenclature. It wasn't just our group of churches that were connected with Calvary, but it was churches all over the place. Denominational churches were dropping, you know, their denominational names and just giving themselves new and fresh names. And I think it was kind of that connected to the new century, you know, and all this. We're going to, you know, let's do this. And so all the Calvary churches started doing it. So Calvary Chapel of Waterloo, I don't remember exactly when they became New Hope, but they did. Yeah, and churches started doing it. I think they were one of the first ones to make that adjustment. And so each of the churches was starting to make those adjustments and changing from their traditional names to a less denominationally focused name. And we were thinking of Calvary in that same way. Calvary was a little bit of a traditional thing. It was a name, by the way, still is a name, by the way, used by a lot of Baptist churches. So we would have people kind of wander in here, and back then we had a lot more visitors just wander in by accident because we were on Route 24, first church you saw when you came to Defiance. So everybody came past this church on their way to the town that was the county seat. And there were people who walked in and thought we were Baptist. And after my first message, that 5-minute speaking in tongues thing, they could tell when they walked in we were one of those churches. So they didn't know what to do with us, and sometimes they wandered out, sometimes they ran literally out. I think that our desire to change our name at that time wasn't a bad thing, but we were really grasping at straws. We were trying to, you know, everybody was hope or life. Seemed like everybody was, you know, we had come from a church that was called Word of Life. And I would have loved to have done Word of Life, but how many of you remember back when I first came here 25 years ago, there was a church in town called Word of Life that went through a rather sticky situation, and it became kind of a negative thing. Some of you know about that, and some of you don't. So that was not a real option for us. I would have liked it. But, you know, so we worked on it real hard, and we just kind of came up with Harvest Life because we wanted some life. I ran into problems with that, though, too. I had a guy one time who decided that we must be a church for farmers, a young guy, because we called ourselves Harvest Life. He thought we were a grain bin. They built one behind us, but we're not a grain bin. So another interesting piece of our history is that some of our initial members came from a church called Bethel. Bethel Chapel here in Defiance, and they were over on Greenhouse. And Beth, are you the only one here today that... No. Okay. If you were at Bethel Chapel, stand up. Just real quick, just see if how many people we've got left from Bethel Chapel. Look at that. Yeah, a few of you. God bless you. God bless you. Mark always says these are the patriarchs, the ones who, you know. And Bethel Chapel was having some things that didn't go so well, and a bunch of people came and joined Bob Sims and his wife Debbie, and the church here started to grow, and good things started to happen. And so we ended up a few years ago, 2018, deciding that we wanted to rename our church Bethel. Now, there are some reasons that go with that, but I find it interesting that our church came full circle almost, if you will, back to kind of the beginning of things. And in connection with that beginning of things, it was interesting for me to end up in Redding, California one time at a conference and run into Debbie Sims and her son, who moved out there to be part of a church called Bethel. And she was so excited that I, who she knew from CMI, was out there dipping in that stream of things and connected to that, because that was what they had always hoped that this church would be. So right when you go back to the very beginning, their initial thought was that this church should look like that stream of things. And what was that stream of things? Well, that stream of things was where we let the Spirit move and see God do things, which is our great desire still here. Now, some people might say the Spirit doesn't move here as much as it has at times. I think that's probably true. How many of you want to work on that? Okay, everybody just throw yourself on the floor. No, just kidding. we're not gonna fake it till we make it, but we are going to continue to pursue this presence of the Lord. So I'm going to look at Genesis chapter 35, one verse there, if you want to join me, and talk a little bit about and remind us a little bit about why we have the name Bethel now. And this is to encourage those of us who are part of Bethel to be happy about being part of Bethel and to communicate when we have opportunity what that looks like or what that means. Genesis chapter 35. Are you there? Yep. You can get there real fast these days. Verse 9. After Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob, for your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. Now, in the context of this chapter, by the way, this was an occasion in which Jacob was visiting Bethel for the second time. It was his second time at a place called Bethel. And initially, Jacob had the name Jacob, which meant in some translations, supplanter. And he had done a good job at that by acquiring his brother's birthright, which his brother sold to him fair and square, by the way, and yet kind of deceptively taking the blessing that he was supposed to get. And then he had to flee from the wrath of his brother Esau to not get his head handed to him. So at this place that was called Luz, God appeared to Jacob, and it was Jacob's first encounter with God at that place, Luz, that got the place's name changed. And he had an encounter with the God of Abraham, which is another person whose name had been Abram, and then he got his name changed to Abraham. So a name change has some significance to it. And so Jacob had renamed Luz, which meant almond tree at the time that he was there, probably because there were almond trees there. That's why they named things. You know that a lot of you have names that have something to do with something somebody did or something somebody was in your past. And I've mentioned this before. Hacker was a German name that came from an actual activity. And I did not know it for most of my life, but it comes from chopping wood. Hack, 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 hack. Literally just based on the sound that an axe makes. So that's where my name came from. And Jacob got a new name at a place that God had given him a new revelation at. So the point of a new name is part of a new revelation about something that God wants to do. I believe new names are given to establish identity. And I think that's an important thing. Like knowing who we are. We talk about that a lot here, don't we? Do you know who you are? Do you know who God says you are? I am who he says I am, so I can do what he says I can do. We just repeated that together a week or so ago. So Bethel means who knows. Anybody remember? House of God. Some of you were mouthing it. No one shouted it because everybody's nervous. What if I'm wrong? House of God. Good. You got it. Try to remember that. Each of us is individually a house of God. God dwells in each one of us individually. And God dwells in us, or together we become a manifestation of the house of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" God's dwelling in you. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, being living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." We are individually and corporately the house of God. I think that's just easy for us to remember, but it helps lead us into something that we need to communicate to those who might want to join us. And that is, we'd like to be a place where the presence of God is. If we get to a place where we're not as interested in the presence of God as we should be, we don't really need to exist. Let me say that again. That just felt good when I said it. If we're not interested in the presence of God manifesting in us and through us, I don't know why God would leave us here. Because the whole point of us being here is to manifest his presence so that people know God is with them. And that's what happened to Jacob the first time he got to Bethel. God was here and I didn't even know it. I'm going to suggest to you that God is here today, and there will be a possibility that if your mind is somewhere else and your focus is somewhere else and it's hard to bring yourself to it, you might find that God is here and you don't even know it. Have you ever been in one of those situations where there were people around you who didn't seem to sense the presence of God and you did? And I can confess, I have been there when I did not seem to sense the presence of God, but somebody else did. Like sometimes there's just stuff trying to pull me away from the reality of God's presence and letting it manifest in myself, because I can get very tied to other things. I know none of you ever does that, but sometimes it happens to me. So it's important, and that's why we made the adjustment in our name. It's important for us to know why we are who we are and what we call ourselves and why we do that. I will put my hat on for this part. If they didn't see it, they won't know what somebody's giggling at. I was out a while back and someone looked at my hat. Because I wear a hat a lot. I wear a hat to protect my thin spot up here. Okay, it's bald. But anyway, it's, you know, trying to get the comb over thing working for it. But anyway, I was wearing the hat, and he says, "Bethel, oh, be the one." And I thought, yeah, that's it. You can see it on my shirt. You can see it on my hat. You can see it on the sign out front. You can see it on one of these. Whoop. Oh, well. Ta-da. That's a sticker for your window or bumper or whatever. And as a result of him noticing my hat, I was able to tell him a little bit about our church, which also gave me a chance to talk to him about the Lord. It was an opportunity for an encounter, for the presence of God to become suddenly a little more real than it might if you're just running around doing stuff. And I got this segue into something else. Our goal is to equip every believer, even if they don't really regularly even attend this church, it's still to equip every believer to be the one who helps carry the presence of God into a world that desperately needs it. How many think the world could use a little more of the presence of God? Okay, I thought you might. And each of us is called to greatness. That's why we talk about it so much, because I feel like I need to encourage myself in it on a regular basis. How many of you know David encouraged himself in the Lord, it says in Samuel? Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. We have to just, you know, stir ourselves up in the things of God. And when you come in here, I want to stir you up toward the things that God wants you to do. One person can make a huge difference. I believe that with all my heart. One person can make a huge difference in the life of someone around them, or sometimes someone's around them. And so we think that's a big deal. So I'm going to share a testimony with you this morning. And this is a testimony by a guy who I've met a few times. His name is Greg Moore. Greg and his wife Jane are originally from Granville, Ohio, but they do live out in that town of Reading that has a church that's experiencing a movement that we do identify with. Just let me make this clear. We did make our name Bethel, but it's not so we could be Bethel. We made our name Bethel because we believe that we are a house of God and that everybody gets to be the one. And by the way, our logo's better than theirs. Yeah. So, you know, I like our logo better. I like the be the one part. So this guy, he had a daughter, I think, that went out there, and then they moved out there as well. So this is from a while back, and yes, I have actually shared this before. So some of you may remember it, but it was on Facebook one day, and I lifted it from there. And Greg starts out his Facebook post with this. And by the way, this must be a miracle Facebook post, because normally if it's more than just a few sentences, I'd... Any of you do that, this is like... I don't preach on Facebook because it's hard, you know. I might post something that they can listen to, but people don't want to read usually on Facebook. But he posted this, a little long, but he said, "Today, while running errands to the hardware store, I made a stop at one of my favorite places to get a diet soda. Circle K, because they have the best crushed ice." Really? I don't know. Maybe. Does anybody identify with that? Can any of you testify that, oh, best crushed ice? Okay. Testimony in the back. Best crushed ice. "And while I was walking in, I just felt the Lord nudge me with a thought to change the atmosphere in the store." Why did he think about that? Because he believes that he carries the presence of God. We all carry the presence of God. "Typically, I try to give at least a couple of random people a greeting and a quick, 'Hi, how are you?' when I'm out and about." There's a thought. It wasn't just about the crushed ice. What if we go into a place and it's not just because they have the best crushed ice? But what if we go in there thinking about a way to maybe find somebody to grin at? You see, many people have felt depressed and fearful due to all the fires in our town, and I refuse to buy into the lie of depression, anxiety, and helplessness. This will date the thing. It's been a few years back. Some of you remember we actually prayed for Reading. There were fires all around, and it was pretty scary. It looked like it could just leap into the town, and that would have been one of the biggest towns that had ever experienced that had it happened. And there's a lot of trees and a lot of opportunity there, but thank goodness it didn't. How many of you know, though, since that time, maybe Reading was feeling a little helpless then, but do any of you see people who feel a little helpless now? Has the nation been through enough stuff that maybe people are okay? So this is a good thought for us because we're Bethel and we get to be the one. I was in a lower income, higher crime area. What did I do? I simply greeted everyone that I saw with a very simple, positive compliment. To the young mother, feeling she needed to rush because she was trying to put a lid on her drink cup while juggling a baby and a toddler with me waiting, I told her, take your time. You have two beautiful children to juggle, and you're being a great mom. She was shocked and looked at me with a huge grin and said, thank you so much. I needed that. It's not how I do it, though, especially at Dairy Queen, because I get a lot of drinks there because my wife really likes the limeade. So if someone's in front of me and I'm holding two cups, I'm kind of like, no. But how many of you know you can feel that way? You can sometimes like, oh, come on. I need my limeade. I noticed other people around started to smile. Then a lady with weird tattoos all over the place, piercings, dark makeup, and a somewhat tattered t-shirt came up to fill her cup up. I said, isn't this the best crushed ice in the world? She replied with a straight face, I come here to get it from my mom. She likes it. I said, wow. You're a great daughter to do that for her. The littlest things can make a huge difference in someone's daily life, can't they? Her face changed into a big grin and nodded and said, yeah, I guess they can. Wow. As I looked around, there were three other guys close by listening, as I tend to talk loud at times. I love this guy. He's just a great guy. And I can identify with him because I tend to talk loud at times. As I looked, they all had a big smile on their faces. I gave them the guy upward head nod. And they each smiled. It's easier to do with a hat on, by the way. There you go. One more time. I then went to the stone-faced cashier. He said, is that all? Like I was bothering him. I replied, no. I want to compliment you on how clean the store is, especially for this time of day. You're doing a great job. His eyes got big. He stood up straight, and he said with a smile, well, thank you, sir. And I said, no, thank you. This guy's supernatural or what? I paid, and as I walked out, I turned and looked around. Everyone I saw now had a smile, and you could feel the shift in the place from the mundane to gladness. I really felt the joy and pleasure of the Lord fill the place. While I was leaving, the first young lady was putting her kids in the car. She made sure I saw her, and she mouthed, thank you. I smiled and nodded, jumped in my FJ. What's an FJ? Is it a Toyota? Oh, it's an SUV. Okay. There we go. Oh, yeah, I know what it looks like now. Huh. and drove all the way home with a big grin on my face. Isn't that cool? That's what ministering to others will do for you, by the way. 4 hours later, still feeling the love of the Father, I felt that I was to share my experience. It wasn't the kind of supernatural manifestation, you know, where he had someone raised from the dead or, you know, blind eyes open or someone in a wheelchair. But it was still a manifestation of the glory of God. It was still a manifestation of the house of God, of the presence of God that was touching people. I loved it. I loved it. And if we let this kind of manifestation work through us, I do believe it would open up doors. And he will testify, because I've heard more of his testimonies, that it does open up doors for us to have opportunities to minister even more. But it just starts with just being aware, I am Bethel. I go to Bethel, but I am Bethel. The house of God is in me. And I get to be the one. I think if we simply take time to share joy and peace and love, the love that Jesus gives us, in maybe the most simplistic forms, we can change atmospheres from mundane to joyful, from helpless to hope, from dark to light. And so I want to challenge us all. I want us to think about, is there someone we can compliment? Is there someone we can smile at? Can we learn to do the head nod? I'm not sure I'm doing it very well. You look like you got something wrong with you. Some Bethel supernatural school student's going to come and pray for you because they want to get that twitch off of you. And it won't only lift people's spirits, but I believe it'll cause us to have the experience he had, which is that feeling of, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. I just want God to just like, yeah, that was good. I'm glad you did that today. That was cool. And I believe when we do that, we can get that experience. It does take a little bit of thinking about it. You might have to buy a hat, I don't know, put it on your head so that you remember that you're Bethel. I can help you get one of those, but we don't have any extras of those. Maybe you want a t-shirt. Today, there's a special on t-shirts. Yeah? Special on t-shirts in the back. They're in the office over here. And they're free. But Tom, we only have small. So it's not going to work. Might get you some looks that weren't really what you were after. Yeah, although people might laugh, you know. The joy of the Lord is strength, so I mean, you know, maybe you have people. Now, actually, there's an extra large one. There are a few mediums and a few smalls. So, you know, it's time for us to clear the decks, and there is a way we can get more shirts made, and I'm going to be talking to somebody about that and maybe doing something where, you know, they won't be free because we'll have to make sure that she gets taken care of. But we can make them one at a time now. There's somebody in the church who can do that. Her name is Lisa. She's in Texas. But she could probably help us with that. And this week, I finally got a chance to actually take the truck that we got and put the Bethel sticker on the window. When we bought these things originally, we kind of put a little price of $3 on them because we thought that wouldn't be too much and it'd help us pay for them. But we've still got a pile of them, and we've had them a long time. So here's the deal. I got one, and I took it home, and I got ready to put it on the window, and I remembered how to do it. Because quite honestly, sometimes, you know, I put stuff off. I don't know whether you're like me, but it's like, oh, I got to think about that. And I don't have time to think about that right now. I've got too many other things on my mind. So I kept, we've had the car since Mother's Day weekend, for crying out loud. Get the sticker on there already, Pastor. So, well, you know, there was reasons. But so I got it, stuck it on, got my little thing to smooth it on real nice. I will install one of these on your vehicle. I'm that good. I can install one on your vehicle, and they are now available for free. They're free until they run out. And so if you don't have one on your vehicle, and I put them on the windows because I don't put them on the paint on. You can put it on the paint if you want, but I put them on the windows because, you know, stickers like that fade the paint and stuff like that. People don't like that on their paint sometimes, but I'll put it wherever you want. Put it on a t-shirt. First time you wash, it'll come off, but, you know. In the end, I don't think, though, that Jesus is really going to pay too much attention to what church we were part of. He'll pay more attention to the idea of, did we fit into the body of believers? And did we function? And did we learn to be the one that God wants us to be so that we could change the world around us? One person, one encounter, one situation at a time, one moment, one smile, one compliment, just saying something nice to somebody, just encouraging them. I want to be the one that he says, well done to. And I don't want to wait until I get to heaven, have him say that final, well done. I want to get that sense that he's doing that all the time, that he's doing it even now. So, you know, when we first changed our name, I talked about this a little bit because people were wondering, why'd you change your name? But I think since then we may have forgotten about it a little bit. So now you can be the one with a story to tell. And I believe that God is ready to do more than he's done before with you. Not just with us, although that'd be nice, but I believe he's ready to do it with each of us and all of us and any of us who are willing to be used of God. And all we have to do is recognize, as a believer, I am the house of God, and I get to be the one to show people that. I get to be the one who shows people God. Amen? Okay, good. Good. So, two sermons, one short one, one a little longer, and you're all good. I'll take off my hat, because you're not supposed to pray with a hat on. We can talk about what that really means, but we won't today, because that would be the third sermon. Okay, I won't do that to you. Oh, so let me pray for you. Lord, there will be people who are watching this or listening to it in the form of a podcast or a live stream. People who can't come and be part of this church. People who it wouldn't make sense to have a sticker in their window or a Bethel t-shirt. But it doesn't change the reality that they can be the one. Lord, each of us in this room, whether we have the shirt or hat or sticker or anything like that, we still have that opportunity to be the one. To be the one that you use, to be the one that you work through, to be the one who prays, to be the one who loves, to be the one who encourages. And I just pray that that'll resonate inside of us in a way that my preaching isn't adequate, Lord, to just get people to motivate them to do that. But your Holy Spirit is more than adequate to motivate us to do that. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, come. Just come. Holy Spirit, come. Land on our hearts. Make us aware that we get to manifest your presence no matter what church we go to or how it got its nomenclature or whatever. We want to be those people, Lord, who carry you into every place that we go. And so we pray that we'll be inspired to do so by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.